From St. Augustine, we learn that selfishness isn't a branch that can be pruned and thrown into the fire. The disease of sin does not originate in the fruit of our actions, but in the root of our being. We sin because deep down, we are sinners. But then, from a recent Batman movie, I learned something else. Namely, that we are not defined by what's deep down inside of us, but by what we do. Personally, I think the Caped Crusader has a point. We are what we do. So St. Paul writes, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Adulterers, the effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, drunkards, revilers, and swindlers will not inherit eternal life." And Paul adds, "Such were some of you." Paul isn't talking about the fact that we're all sinners. That'd be too easy. Instead, he warns against sin as a lifestyle. The types of persistent sin that grieve the Holy Spirit and separate the Christian from Christ. Pet sins that are fed too much and grow to devour us. He talks about the gangrene leg, the cancerous appendage, which unless cut off puts the entire body in danger. The sexually immoral, adulterers, and those who practice homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. The eye leers and poison enters the body. And our Lord says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell." So also, thieves, drunkards, revilers, and swindlers will not inherit eternal life. The hand makes a living by reaching into the wallets of others, or consistently reaches out for too many drinks. And our Lord says, "If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell." Nowadays, theft may be frowned upon, but many of these other behaviors that Paul warns against are commonplace, accepted, even celebrated. The other day I was watching Wimbledon, and in between points the cameras focused on the player's parents and pregnant girlfriend. Rather than shame, or at least a little silent discretion, there were smiles all around and happy words from the commentators. In a recent column on euphemisms, John Leo observed that the Church of England has a new name for couples who live together without the benefit of marriage, namely covenanted relationships. To be sure, you can actually score some points among conservatives by moral hand-wringing, by passing a resolution against, say, homosexuality or abortion. But then again, I can't recall the last time I heard a parish pastor preach against people shacking up or living in sin, and divorce is hardly mentioned, not to mention abortion, homosexuality, drunkenness, or any other touchy issue. Now, these are issues where fire and brimstone preaching may do little more than drive people away, but this is where we, the church, need to be teaching, most especially our own people. Arguably, with our nation's inexorable march towards gay marriage, our society hangs in the balance. But much more important, our salvation is at stake. The Spirit may be willing, but our own flesh is weak. Since, as Augustine teaches, we are all plagued by original sin, none of us is immune to the sins which Paul rails against, but that our society smiles upon. A stumble results in a fall, and a misstep leads us over the cliff. And so we hear Paul preaching, "Idolaters, adulterers, practicing homosexuals, thieves, drunkards, revilers, and swindlers will not inherit eternal life. These words aren't a yellow light cautioning us to slow down, but a bright flashing red light accompanied by a loud alarm. Stop and turn around. And we are called back to remember this. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. St. Paul's gospel may not change our society, although they do have that power. St. Paul's words cannot undo the past, but they can restore hope and bring a new beginning. Our God salvages difficult situations, and in the words of another Paul, takes sad songs and makes them better. Paul calls us back to the baptismal waters to be cleansed once more. For those who are straying, he says, remember that you are my son. Live like the person you have been called to be. And to the one who is lost, he says, you may have renounced me, but I have not renounced you. You still bear my name. Claim it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.